Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, guys, welcome back to the Cryptoconomy Podcast. I have a quick read for you. It's really short. It's also very visual, but it's also a good little thought experiment by Taronix. Posted on Taronix's Medium page, which is at SCIDEXER. So that's medium.com/@SCIDEXER, SciDexer. And it's titled Increasing Bitcoin Privacy Using the Lightning Network, or How to Delete the Origin of Your Bitcoins. Now, I'm going to go ahead and just jump into this one, but just so you know, he's got, starts out here with the growth of the Bitcoin mainnet Lightning Network, and he's got 7 stages of the growth of the Lightning Network. And I am just going to skip from the first to the last, just so I'm not spending the first 3 minutes of the article reading out numbers. But again, let's go ahead and jump into Increasing Bitcoin Privacy Using the Lightning Network, or How to Delete the Origin of Your Bitcoins. Since January 2018, the Lightning Network of the Bitcoin mainnet grows continuously. The fast growth of the Bitcoin mainnet Lightning Network over time. Source, Rexplorer. On January 18th of 2018, there were 43 nodes, 68 channels, and the capacity was $9,931.08. 4 months and 6 days later, on May 24th, 2018, those 43 nodes are now 2,401 nodes. The 68 channels are now 7,151 channels. And the capacity of $9,931.08 is $155,221.32. Always, when the price of Bitcoin drops or the media spreads that Bitcoin is dead, I just open Rexplorer. This usually is pure satisfaction. No matter how far the price drops, the number of Lightning nodes is increasing. The Visa network is capable of sending 56,000 transactions per second. PayPal's maximum is currently at 400 transactions per second. At Consensus 2018, Christian Decker said that each Lightning channel can process 500 transactions per second. With the current 7,151 channels, that would be a maximum of more than 3.5 million transactions per second, if we assume that every node has the necessary hardware. What do I mean by delete the origin or history of your bitcoins? This weekend, I thought about sending bitcoins as far through the network as possible. I just wanted to see if the Lightning Network would manage the routing. It worked, but it also crossed my mind that it has to be extremely difficult to track my transaction. If the chain of HTLCs, or hashed time lock contracts, gets longer, it becomes even more difficult. When talking about deleting the origin of bitcoins, I mean laundering bitcoins such that nobody can track them back to me. So let's assume we hacked Mt. Gox and want to wash our bitcoins. This is just a hypothetical example. The nodes I use for this example really exist in the network, but have nothing to do with Mt. Gox. Sorry if you read this and one of these nodes is yours. Let's assume we have two addresses on the blockchain, one with 10 Bitcoin and another with only 0.001 Bitcoin. It's very important that the second address cannot be identified with us. This shouldn't be too difficult because the second address only needs a very tiny amount, big enough for the creation of a channel. We could buy this little amount, for example, at a Bitcoin ATM. Now we create a node called Scryery with our 10 Bitcoin address and open a channel with a capacity of 10 Bitcoin to the node freedomnode.com. This one we select randomly. Of course, Lightning Network is still in an early phase, and you should only create channels with a tiny fraction of a Bitcoin. If you want to send the total 10 Bitcoin, you can just repeat this process several times. But we still assume that we have a lot of Bitcoin from our Mt. Gox hack, which of course is not true. And 10 Bitcoin is affordable for us to lose. Our next step is to create a second node called Gold. The 0.001 Bitcoin just has to be enough as fee for opening a channel. This time we have to choose the node we want to connect with in a strategical way. We want to have as many nodes between our first node, Scryery, and our second one, Gold, as possible. Therefore, we connect to Alibaba, which is at the opposite side of our Lightning Network map, which does not necessarily guarantee us that the minimum number of hops is larger. Now we have two nodes, Scryery in the upper left corner and Gold in the lower right corner. These two are connected as follows. 1. Scryery to freedomnode.com with a 9.9999 Bitcoin capacity, and 2. Gold to Alibaba with 0.0099 Bitcoin capacity. 0.0001 fee for each channel creation. Still, everybody can identify us with our coins, but it finally gets serious. We make a Lightning transaction from Scryery via the nodes Freedom Node, Sisekdagi, AspenAll.io, Alibaba, to Gold. Our routing chain is Scryery, FreedomNode.com, Sisekdagi, AspenAll.io, to Alibaba, to Gold. If we would only send money to Freedom Node, everybody could follow the transaction as the channel creation is documented on the blockchain. But the more nodes there are between the nodes we have channels with, the more privacy we get. In this case, we have two nodes for privacy as intermediaries, Sisekdagi and AspenAll.io. Our Lightning transaction will only cost a few Satoshi as fee. Onion routing, which masks all transaction data from the intermediaries, makes this possible. The underlying protocol is called Sphinx. Thus, the chain intermediaries do not know who the sender or receiver is. They do only know the node in front and afterwards. But we have to think properly before closing our channel. It doesn't make sense to send all the 10 Bitcoin to Gold and then close the channel. This would be quite obvious. A better alternative would be to create several receiving nodes and send tiny fractions via different ways to these end nodes before closing them. This is it. It's that easy. If you have some spare Bitcoins and you want to have them, quote, cleaned, this is a way to do it. Of course, you need some technical knowledge to set up a node, but this will only get easier over time as more and more people use this new technology. Right now, there are a lot more features being developed for the Lightning Network, which could increase privacy further. Atomic multipath payments. Transactions are split up and sent via different routes. Sending huge amounts gets easier this way. 10 Bitcoin would need a lot of transactions in the Lightning Network right now. Atomic swaps. Interchain transactions and decentralized exchanges. Channel factories. These include multiple addresses in one opening transaction. This could save a lot of blockchain space when Schnorr signatures will be implemented, but it might take a while until we will be able to use Schnorr signatures. Therefore, a soft fork is needed. I have set up nodes on testnet and mainnet and tried a lot of things, but this only was another idea of mine which might contain mistakes. So please correct me. This way I can learn and others don't make these mistakes. All right, I hope you enjoyed that one from Taronix. Don't forget to check out, if you want to see the images that I kind of skipped over at the beginning, to see kind of how quickly and The Lightning Network was growing, and exactly how massive and awesome it is today. You can obviously check out Rexplore, and I'll link to that one. I've linked at that one a couple of times, but it's a really cool Lightning Network visualizer that I encourage you to check out if you want to see it. But also check out the article, as it shows, Rexplore is only going to show you the current state of it, but you'll be able to see a progression of 6 stages of growth in the Lightning Network in the article. So I definitely encourage you to check that out, and I'll be sure to tag him and link to the article, obviously, in the Twitter post and on the podcast episode itself. There are a couple of things. I think this does a really good job at... I know we've talked about a number of the elements in this before, but this was a good little touch on a couple of the elements of the Lightning Network that I think are kind of dismissed and or ignored, that I think are actually really, really important. Like, the first thing that this really goes to demonstrate, without him actually addressing it in the article, is that it reveals the power of the Lightning Network that is granted in the fact that the user is determining the destination. Now, the software might do this automatically, but it's still in full control of the user's software and or if they want to take manual control. And in this case, they're manually deciding the path that their transactions will take, so they can decide for themselves whether or not they want more or less privacy or just want a cheap transaction. And what's interesting there is that that's a stark difference between routing on the internet today versus routing on the Lightning Network. Routing on the internet today is very akin to something like the mail system, where the address just is a breakdown of different numbers that get you closer to a tighter region to where the destination is. And when you hand it off to a server, you don't have any control over how it gets there. Your ISP is then deciding which server it goes to, and then, you know, it branches across the country to the next server, and then that server determines the next path, so on and so forth, till it reaches the destination. And that's very similar to kind of the mail system. You just put an address on it, and then the mail guy who picks it up then sends it to their local distribution, kind of like an ISP. Then they send it on the truck that's going to go halfway across the country to closer to its destination, then gets to the state, and then the county, then the town, and so on and so forth, till it reaches the mailbox that it's supposed to end up at. But in that way, as soon as you hand it to the mailman, it's up to the mail system to determine the path. You can't say or write on the letter, you know, to the mailman, you know, make sure you go through Texas, because they've got really good privacy in their mail system. Like, you have no control over it. You just put it in your mailbox and the network takes it. Whereas in this scenario, or with routing on the Lightning Network, it's kind of up to either A, your technical savvy, or, you know, how much manual control you want to have, or more obviously and far more likely just with the software that you download. So, you know, maybe you use the Amazon Lightning Wallet because you don't care about privacy and you just want to connect to the most direct connection to as many mini nodes as possible. Or you download something like the Samurai Lightning Wallet, which doesn't exist yet, but fingers crossed, and it specifically is designed to give you the most private route to your destination, regardless of the cost. And because of that, like, because this is going to mostly be handled automatically by the software, the capacity for additional privacy and confidentiality there is just enormous. And another really interesting element is a bit of a feedback loop, similar to how Bitcoin's mining power, increased security, increased trust in the network results in an increase of price, increased mining, increased security, so on and so forth. You've kind of got a feedback loop in the Lightning Network as well, as it becomes very useful for privacy. People will start putting on more capacity and putting on nodes specifically in order to get additional privacy. And then that will also make the Lightning Network at the same time better for privacy and higher capacity. So the more people who see and begin using Lightning Network for privacy benefits, the better the Lightning Network will be at providing that same privacy. So we could see something that as soon as, there's, a chance that Square Cash App, if you saw Consensus 2018, that last presentation was between Jack Dorsey and Elizabeth Stark, and they discussed that they were working together, and or at least Jack Dorsey invested in Lightning Labs, which Elizabeth Stark is heading off. So, not necessarily that they're working together, but Jack Dorsey had specifically stated that he thought Bitcoin could be the reserve or the native currency for the internet. And if something like the Cash App actually implemented Lightning Network, use and availability of nodes and capacity would just explode on Lightning. And if you weren't aware, this Cash App does use Bitcoin. You can't actually, I don't think you can deposit Bitcoin, but you can buy Bitcoin through the Cash App. And it's actually the reason that I now require that any friend who pays me back, pay me back over the Cash App. Because you can buy Bitcoin right in the app and you hold it in the app. But you cannot yet deposit or withdraw, if I'm not mistaken. Or at least I haven't done it, and I know when I first loaded it up, you could not. But that goes to show, clearly the Cash App is trying to get into the cryptocurrency space. The co-founder of Square Cash is both entirely on board with Bitcoin, wants to see it become the native currency for the internet, and has invested in Lightning Labs. That's not much of a stretch in my mind. So keeping an eye on further developments with that will be really critical. And I just think when larger players start entering the space, I think the potential for privacy on Lightning is going to be massive. And I think this article did a really good job on kind of touching on the kind of base pieces of the puzzle and kind of the first iterations of what privacy might look like on the Lightning Network. One thing that I think he does, he kind of glosses over or really doesn't address at all, is the capacity problem. The scenario he essentially lays out doesn't take into account that the node he connected to with gold, like the gold was the end node that we were trying to move the Bitcoin into, he only opened it with a capacity of 0.001 Bitcoin. So any transactions that could move through it, unless he specifically connected to a node that offered up capacity on their behalf, like a dual-funded channel, which I do not think has been implemented yet. I know there's a lot of work being done on it, and it should be soon. But unless it was a dual-funded channel where the other person offered up, 0.2 Bitcoin or half a Bitcoin in capacity, it would take a very long time to aggregate a ton of 0.001 Bitcoin transactions in Lightning in order to fill or essentially move all of that Bitcoin in that direction. With channel capacity, you've really got a lowest common denominator problem. The lowest capacity in the chain is the one that limits how much you can move and how quickly. But because you've got transactions moving back and forth in both directions, you would be able to, over a very extended amount of time, as long as you have alternative channels on the gold node, you could facilitate payments for someone else and then continue to receive in the other direction. I think in the short term, though, something that will be much better for this, particularly before dual-funded channels are a common thing, and while capacity is still limited, something like the development that Alex Bosworth is doing with submarine swaps and also just lightning to on-chain payments, which are like HTLC payments where somebody broadcasts an on-chain payment on your behalf elsewhere in the Lightning Network and you send a Lightning payment to them. I think that's probably more likely to work toward that goal in the short term, specifically because it does the same task of essentially exchanging Bitcoin that was connected to you with Bitcoin that's got no connection to you. If you do that through five hops, to somebody who's making an on-chain payment on your behalf, you're still only paying for the single on-chain address, but you're ending up with entirely different and disconnected Bitcoin that does not have the original origin that, you know, you're worried about covering up or making private. I think there are a lot of interesting dynamics to this whole problem and solution, and honestly, this feature of the Lightning Network, I think, is going to be widely used, and I think, honestly, some of the best privacy measures that we will get on Bitcoin is likely going to be based on Lightning. I think they're going to be Lightning applications. And I think that feedback loop of additional capacity and usage of privacy, making Lightning Network better for privacy, I think that has the possibility of steamrolling, where as soon as we start getting privacy applications on Lightning, the adoption becomes widespread and it becomes cheaper and cheaper as more of it is used to gain an even better level of privacy. Or at least that's kind of what I see when I try to, you know, do a thought experiment on how the whole thing rolls out. That's so, you know, fingers crossed, and we'll see. Maybe be sure to follow Samurai Wallet. Maybe they have some lightning on the horizon. With that, though, don't forget to check out Taronix. It was a good little article, and I'm going to keep an eye on anything else that they do. And, of course, be sure to check out the full article in order to look at the stages of Lightning Network growth and see how fast and robust this network is coming over such a short period of time. Don't forget to follow me at The Crypto Economy on Twitter and Medium, and of course, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, as always. And please share it with all your friends who want to hear all the best articles and about everything else that's going on in the crypto economy space. I'll catch everybody tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Crypto Economy Podcast. Take it easy.